Hear now God's word. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We find ourselves today in Matthew chapter 5, which is at the beginning portion of what is commonly known as Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. What's that? Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is a collection of Jesus's teachings that he shares with all those who are listening during that time. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is an extremely challenging look at the current laws of Judaism of that day. Jesus is focusing an awful lot on the Ten Commandments in much of this. And in our scripture today, he talks about, I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. And so he shows that he's not abolishing the laws when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, but that he is pushing them further than what most people are willing to push them. For example, one of the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount that many of us are familiar with is, you have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, thou shalt not be angry, or thou shalt not hate a brother within your heart. I've heard that. Now, that could be challenging for many of us. You may have said to yourself at one point in your life, well, at least I haven't killed them yet, in order to give yourself comfort. Any parent has said that to themselves at least several times in the life of their teenagers. At least I haven't killed them yet. Jesus' challenge is our actions and our heart, and wants them to match up with one another in the positive light, to love them within our heart, that's what we should seek after. We see this all throughout the scripture, all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, because the Sermon on the Mount takes the law, the Ten Commandments, and shows how it is supposed to be a benefit, not just to ourselves, but to those who are around us. That the law is not just for our own living, but in order to benefit the lives of those whom we encounter in our lives. In fact, the ancient Jews have a saying, not ancient so far as the Old Testament or even the New Testament, but ancient about 300 years after the birth of Christ in the 3rd or 4th century. It's called, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but I'll spell it for you. It's called Tikkun Olam, which is T-I-K-K-U-N O-L-A-M. Okay, two words. If you want to look it up, it's a very, very interesting saying. What it is, very roughly translated, is the repair of the earth. It's a way of looking at the laws in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew Bible and seeing those laws as beneficial to all of society. Basically, it's what, as we as Christians look to the gospel, and when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? He said, there are two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and the other one, which is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then when we look at not just the New Testament, but the entire Bible as a whole, we start to see how relationship is so important to God. In fact, one of my favorite things about the Bible is how it's about all about the necessity for good relationship with one another. The Bible is about God relating to humanity, humanity relating to God, and humanity relating to humanity. Let's take a look at for a second how we look at Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. When God created Adam, he created Adam not just by snapping God's finger and Adam appearing out of nowhere. When God created Adam, God took God's own time, bending down within the mud, shaping and forming Adam piece by piece, getting the ears right, the forehead, the nose, the eyes, everything. And then once the form was as God wanted it, God then knelt down in the mud and in the dirt and breathed God's breath into Adam's nostrils, placing within Adam a piece of God's own self. Once Adam was created and living and moving, God gave Adam a chore, a direction, a purpose. Take care of this garden. Take care of the animals. Take care of the plants. Be a steward of where I place you. And then God didn't just leave, but God paid attention, talking to Adam, having a relationship with Adam. And when God saw that Adam was lonely, he didn't say, oh, well, Adam's lonely. Big deal. He brought all the animals to Adam to see if Adam would be happy. Adam wasn't happy with any of the animals. And so God created from Adam's side Eve. When Adam and Eve got together, God saw that they were happy. And so God was happy with this. It wasn't over yet, though. God wasn't done with Adam and Eve at that point. Adam and Eve messed up, broke God's commandment. And Adam and Eve felt shame for being naked, because they never knew that they were before. But when they realized they were, they felt shame. God then didn't say, well, you broke one of my rules, so enjoy your shame. Sometimes I do that with my kids. Well, you broke one of my rules. You feel bad about that? Good. See, God loves better than that. God said, you broke one of my rules. You can't stay here anymore. He said, but I see that you're naked and you don't like it, so God made clothes for you. Killed animals, the first sacrifice, so that they may be covered, so that their shame may go away. You see, God maintained that relationship in spite of the break in relationship. And then now fast forward to our scripture today where Jesus says a city on a hill can't be hidden. And when we have light, let that light shine. Saying basically, when we live for Jesus, for God in our lives, do so that people will see, because that's the point. To maintain those relationships, not to keep them hidden, but to take care of those around us so that they know that they're not alone. One of the most blessed moments in my life is happening right now, but it's also at the very same time one of the most challenging. I have a teenager. I don't know what it is about teenagers, but as soon as they become a teenager, something changes. And you know what I'm talking about, because not only were you one, but many of you have raised one yourself. Teenagers are a pain in the rear end. My son, that I love so very, very, very much, And it's not just him, it's like every teenager. They spend so much time in the room. There was a comedian that I had heard once. He said that he was so tired of his son spending so much time in his room that he actually took the door off of the hinges. I haven't gone that far yet, nor do I think I will, unless he gives me good reason to. Probably won't go that far. But I stop in his room as often as I can. When I walk by, see him, to tell him that I love him. Tell him that he's not forgotten. That whatever reason he's in the room, that he's still very much important to each of us in the family. I see God doing that to us. And I see God telling us to do that for others. Being one of the beautiful things about Christianity is it's not a secret society. It's not a place where we gather together to be away from civilization and culture. It's a place where we gather together to draw strength from Christ and encourage one another to then go into society and love it. To love those around us, to let not our light, but God's light shine, to share that love. And you know, the glorious thing about God in our lives is that we're going to mess up. We're going to say things that we regret. We're going to do things that we know aren't right. But we have the mercy of Christ to help pick us up again and to try again, to love the way we knew we should have. However many times that takes, Jesus' love picks us up each time. So we don't have any excuses not to do it. We need, as a church and as those loved by Christ, to love all those around us. And the only qualification to love another person is that that person must be created by God. So that covers pretty much everybody. So I pray that we as a church, we as Christians, as individuals, are able to go into the world and just let them know they're loved. It doesn't mean that we need fancy speeches. It doesn't mean that we need to have our theology solid. All needs is the memorization of two scriptures. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We know how that looks. We know how difficult that can be. But I pray we lean on Christ for the strength to do just that.